Running a business is no cakewalk, but with SAP Concur Solutions, you can be ready for anything. You can manage travel, expenses, and AP all on one platform that's packed with AI and best practices, and that delivers it all through an easy, clear, I can't believe how simple that is experience. So, while not much can be done about that guy who never fails to burn the microwave popcorn and stink up the entire office, with SAP Concur, you can easily handle almost anything else. Take control of your business finances today at concur.com. That's concur.com. Working remotely, where you are shouldn't dictate what you do. Work from the road by turning your vehicle into a reliable high-speed data Wi-Fi hotspot with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. On the network that covers more roads than any other carrier, take your work on the road and AT&T will be there to keep you connected. Connect up to 10 devices and stream conference calls, finish up that presentation, or answer last-minute emails. Why wait? Go to att.com/in-car Wi-Fi today for free trial eligibility. Based on independent third-party data, number of devices varies by manufacturer. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
Now, your ideas don't have to wait. Now, they have everything they need to come to life. Dell Technologies and Intel are creating technology that loves ideas, loves expanding your business, and evolving your passions. They push what technology can do, so great ideas can happen right now. Find out how to bring your ideas to life at Dell.com. Welcome to Now.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Brought to you by the reinvented 2012 Camry. It's ready. Are you?
Get in touch with technology with Tech Stuff from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. My name is Chris Paulette. I'm an editor at How Stuff Works. And as usual, sitting next to me, I've got senior writer Jonathan Strickland.
Howdy.
And I think we'll go merrily, merrily, merrily down the stream of
Video.
Yes, yes. We're going to talk about video streaming online. You're probably familiar with the technology. It's been around for quite some time. You tune in and spend 23, 25 minutes waiting for it to buffer so that you can watch it.
Right. Or you watch maybe 2 seconds of it and then it stops and then you wait and then you watch another second and it stops.
Put it on pause, go make a sandwich, come back.
Or if you have a fast internet connection like some of our friends out in San Francisco, you don't even know what we're talking about because you just watch it and it just plays.
That's true. Actually, that's probably true for most people.
Right.
Now.
Anyone who's not on dial-up.
Yeah.
Anyone who's not on dial-up probably has a, you know, as long as the connection is pretty good, you probably have seen streaming video without too much trouble.
Yeah. But we weren't really talking about applications like YouTube when we were discussing what we were going to talk about today. And really what I was thinking about was more along the lines of sites like Hulu.com.
Right.
And for those of you who are not familiar with Hulu, it is one of several that we're going to mention. But basically you can tune in, watch a TV show, a movie, really the whole thing, you know, supported by advertising. Pretty cool, actually.
Yeah.
It's in a tiny little window. We're not talking, you know, full screen TV. Well, you can make it, but it's blocky.
Right. It's the definition is lower than standard definition for your television.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's the fact that you have access to this pretty large library of content.
Sure.
legitimately, which is that's the best part, is that you don't have to worry about the site being taken down because, you know, of violation of copyright laws.
No, yeah, this is the actual content providers. In the case of Hulu, it's Fox and NBC Universal. So you're right. Seeing, in some cases, it's way, you know, decades old TV shows. In other instances, it's more modern stuff. And in a lot of cases, if it's conflicting with current stuff, it'll be a few weeks behind, or maybe they'll have just clips. Battlestar Galactica, for example, is a show which they don't have full episodes of. Although you can watch the original show and go, really? They decided to completely remake this.
I know. Why remake perfection? You already had it perfected, people. This is where I admit that I've never watched a new episode of Battlestar Galactica, but I was a diehard fan of the original. Oh, yeah. And if you disgrace it with any kind of comment, I will have to.
No, it was absolutely fun. I love the show. Awesome. And I saw the toys.
Best theme music ever.
Yeah.
It's the ringtone on my phone, people. And that is not a joke.
So anyway,
but I was going to mention, so we're talking about Hulu being legitimate. To give you an idea of an illegitimate one, there's a site called TV Links.
Okay? TV Links.
TV-Links.
Okay.
And it was, because occasionally it gets taken down. it's a site that hosts episodes of various television shows. I think it might have a few movies as well. Mostly it's TV and animation. And it does not necessarily have the permission of the owners to show that material. So it is.
That never happens.
Yeah. So it's one of those sites where there are lots and lots and lots of choices. But you have to, if you go there, you're going there with the knowledge that this site could not be there if the content providers decide that, hey, you know what? This is just ridiculous. People are watching our stuff without going through the proper channels.
So to speak.
Then they could certainly, you know, sue TV Links and say, you can't do that. And, that's happened a couple of times. I mean, there are times where if you tried to go to the website, you get an error message because it's been taken down. But, you know, it was tempting for people to go there because they could access things that they couldn't necessarily access easily wherever they live. Like in the United States, for instance, we don't necessarily have access to some of the programming that the BBC does.
That's true. And they do offer quite a bit on the BBC website, but you have to be,
resident of
the kingdom.
Yeah. Yeah, if you're not one of the Queen's subjects, then you're pretty much out of luck.
You're subject to being blocked out.
Exactly. You can't access the material. Well, the same thing is true in other countries when they try and access sites over here. Sometimes there are restrictions where they're not able to do that unless they're using some sort of weird proxy.
Right. And I want to get back to Hulu and the legitimacy of Hulu, but I should mention that there are other sites that do this. Juiced is probably the most famous.
Right.
That's not juiced like in you've just pulped grapefruit. It's more like J-O-O-S-T. And the founders of actually of Kazaa, oddly enough, and Skype decided they wanted to do a streaming TV venture. And, of course, you'd think with that pedigree – you know, with Kazaa being part of it, you'd go, really? But actually, they have gone to great lengths to license a lot of content. They've got PBS on board, the public broadcasting system, CBS, Sony Pictures TV, National Geographic. So a lot of people are involved in that. And they used to have a client, a software program that would run these TV shows. But now they offer just a plugin for your web browser, which makes it a little more simple to do that. And that's probably right. Because Hulu, which people used to pick on for having a goofy name, now is more legitimate. But I also found out yesterday that Comcast Interactive has their own version of this called Fancast. They have full episodes of TV shows and movies and things like that, too, that they've licensed. But talking about the legitimacy of Hulu, I was reading an article in Ars Technica by Nate Anderson. And to quote him, he says, it's only a matter of time until the web loses its second-class status when it comes to video programming. Well, last night, we're recording this the day after the second presidential debate, and I watched the presidential debate live on Hulu.com. And you know, it was probably not a big test for them because you got CNN and all the networks and MSNBC competing with them. But it was a test and there were no hiccups. It was, you know, smooth. It was easy to watch. You know, it was on my computer screen while I was working on something else. I could keep an eye on it. And I'm thinking, you know, this could be legitimate. This could go, you know, big time. Now, you know, Anderson says that people are not going to give up their TVs because that's, you know, you got it in your comfy room. You got a widescreen TV. Why would you give that up in favor of an itty bitty window on your computer? But, if they start moving into live events, that's a whole different ballgame.
And here's another argument.
Sure.
What if the TV evolves into a computer? I mean, there's no reason why television is going to stay in the same form factor it's in right now. In fact, we know that's not the case. There are internet-ready televisions already being produced.
Silly convergence, man.
That's what I'm – you know what? It's the singularity. It's coming, brother. But seriously, the whole idea of people aren't going to give up their televisions, they won't have to. They won't have to give up their TVs because their computers and their TVs will become one and the same. So you'll start seeing – and it'll be high-end first. It'll be the early adopters who will then drive the price down. And you'll start to see televisions that are really, you know, computers in a television form. And you'll be able to use all these services. And there are boxes out there that kind of allow you to do that to some extent, like the Apple TVs in the world and the
You've got the Roku Netflix.
The
box.
Roku, right, which is that opened up just recently too. They had some new deals with Roku.
And that's $99 for this box that you attach to your TV, very much like you would a DVR or cable or satellite box. But you got more than 12,000 titles already, so you can basically just download the video of the movie to your computer. You know, box that goes on your TV. It's not, you know, it's seamless.
And even things like Xbox and PS3.
Voodoo.
You know, these are all hardware solutions that are kind of bridging that gap between the computer and the TV.
Yeah. And with services like Verizon's Fios and some of the other things, you've got the bandwidth available coming, you know, fiber optic bandwidth to.
Yeah, if you're in New York City, you're set.
Yeah, pretty much, because you've got the bandwidth to deliver that real time. You can even get some HD programming on that connection now. So you have basically the same format. So you've got the right machine attached to your TV. You're pretty much set. You can download anything from new to used. So do you think programming is going to stay programming, or do you think it's all just going to be on demand in the future?
That's a good question. I think eventually we will see more of an on demand model. I don't know. I think that's going to be a ways off because people are really used to the whole programming. Like I tune in at 8 p.m. to see this, or I set my TiVo for 8 p.m. to record this.
That's the thing. It's all chipping away at that.
Right. It is chipping away. I think it's going to take a little longer before it actually heads off completely. I mean, for one thing, you've got advertisers who resist that so much because really, when you think about it, you know, advertisers, what they're looking at is they're looking to try and hit a specific demographic. And they do tons and tons of studies that cost millions of dollars to find out when that demographic's watching television. And if that demographic's watching television at 8 p.m., then you can darn well bet that that's going to be the most expensive time to buy ads on television. But if you get it to the point where, yeah, they're watching television at 8 p.m., but they're doing it on demand, so it doesn't matter, you know, you can't just target 8 p.m. anymore because you have no idea what they're going to be watching, that throws lots of monkey wrenches into their plans. So the world runs on money. And so, yeah, it's chipping away, but until the financial giants, the whole marketing scheme finds a way to incorporate the whole on-demand model, you're going to see a lot of resistance within the industry, I think.
Yeah, but I think from what I understand, some of the people who are using set-top box DVRs, I think TiVo, in fact, has a deal with Nielsen where they can pull some of that demographic information and they know even what ads you're fast-forwarding through and which ones you go, hey, that was kind of funny.
And
let me back up and go through that again.
And when you're using the internet, you can totally track and see how many people are downloading a specific or streaming a specific video.
So it seems like when the companies get over their initial fear of that, they might say, well, actually, I can get more information this way.
Right. It may be that they start start targeting specific programs as opposed to specific blocks of time. Yeah.
And there's still going to be live things that people want to watch, election coverage, for example, sure. or the Super Bowl.
People
are going to want to watch live as it happens.
You know what we've been kind of talking about here. Besides streaming video, kind of in a big picture way, we've got a I keep using those without meaning to. We've got a little catch phrase term that we use here at Tech Stuff a lot. It's kind of like stuff you should know. They have the fight or flight reflex. If you listen to that podcast, Josh and Chuck, that's their go-to phrase.
And you should absolutely listen to that.
Right. You should, because they're very entertaining and educational. But at Tech Stuff, our go-to phrase is cloud computing.
Oh, yes.
Which is pretty much what we're talking about here with streaming video. The video is unless you're downloading it to a device like we were talking about earlier, if you're streaming it, then that means that the video actually lives on computers that are owned by Hulu or whomever.
Yeah. Not like if you bought a video from the iTunes store,
right.
download it to your Apple TV and watch it on your TV.
That's a more traditional.
That's a traditional
one. Yeah, as opposed to logging onto Hulu and watching an episode of 30 Rock or whatever.
Sure.
I thought we could also talk briefly about some of the other services that that aren't necessarily geared toward the thing that Hulu is. Anyway, Hulu, you're getting television programs and seeing live events and things like that. But there are other, like we talked briefly about YouTube. YouTube, of course, is the site where it's user generated content. You do find television shows occasionally on YouTube. You're not supposed to.
Briefly.
Yeah. As soon as someone raises a complaint about it, YouTube will move to take that down.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's the problem is that, of course, if someone has a copy of that, it can pop up in another location almost as fast as you can take it down, or faster in some cases. But YouTube's meant as user generated, as is Vimeo, which is another one. Justin TV, which is almost like that's a live streaming video service, like a Ustream.
Yeah, a Seismic.
So these are all different streaming video sites that that really kind of cater to the user experience. It's not necessarily a way to consume traditional media in a new format. I was going to talk about a neat little blogging thing called 12 Seconds. Have you heard of this?
I have heard of that.
Yeah,
I don't know much about it.
You've heard about it briefly.
Yes.
Because that's how long you have 12 seconds in order to do a video post. You do a video post that's about 12 seconds long, and so it's just your thought about something. It's kind of like the video version of Twitter. Sure. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You saw where I was going immediately with that.
Yes, I did.
Same sort of thing.
I thought I'd pounce on that.
Yeah, nice. Nice pounce. Yeah. I was going to work Plurk in there somehow, but it just doesn't really fit.
Yeah, I'd come up with some other quippy thing. I'm done now.
You know, there have been some pioneers in this whole streaming video format that have really kind of led the way. I mean, part of this issue really came to light during the whole writer's strike last year. Mm-hmm. When the entertainment writers were striking, it was partially because of the argument about new media and what its place was going to be in the future. And the writers were arguing that they weren't going to be compensated fairly for their work when it was going to be shown over the internet. And then the media companies were saying, we don't even know if we can make money over the internet. Big mess. And it looks like now you can see that, you know, it's gaining popularity. So at least the interest is there. Whether or not the money is there, that still remains to be seen. But there's at least support for it. There's a demand for it among in the marketplace. So at least then the writers had that part straight.
Right.
The writers were saying, hey, you know, people are going to want to watch television on their computers. A lot of them were saying, hey, my kids, that's all they use. They just use the computer to watch TV.
Yeah.
They don't ever turn the television on because there's what they want to see isn't necessarily on at that point.
Yeah.
And you even had people like South Park. They put all of their episodes up online on South Park Studios. So you could watch, and you could even watch the newest episode. As soon as it finished airing on television, it was up on the site and you could watch it for about a week and then they would take it down.
Right.
But everything from the season before all the way to the very beginning of South Park, you can find at South Park Studios. So with sort of like test cases like that, that's kind of how it led to where we are now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then you have, you know, internet only programming like Dr. Horrible's Sing Along Blog.
Ah, yes. So, yes, I'll be applying to the Evil League of Evil tomorrow, actually.
Good to know.
That's not even a joke.
What are you going to do, like suck us all into a black hole?
You'll have to see. I'll just link I'll Twitter a YouTube post on there and people can see my application.
All right.
But yeah, Dr. Horrible, it's a great example. That was a Joss Whedon project where he wrote this piece specifically to see if it was a viable alternative to traditional television. You may or may not know that Whedon has had a checkered past with the television industry, or rather, you know, things like Fox or the WB or whatever.
That would be the television industry.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Specific parts of the television industry.
Right.
But the issue was that it was not always his vision that was going to make it to the screen, or his program would get moved around really quite a bit so that it could never really gather an audience. So you would have a hardcore audience that really loved a program, but it couldn't get footing with a larger, broader base, because of lack of support. And so he said, well, you know, why should we have to depend on this kind of delivery system when the internet is there and we can deliver directly to viewers, reach a lot more people? We don't have to be beholden to this larger company that doesn't really care about us. And, I think Dr. Horrible was a sort of a proof of concept.
Yeah.
You know, and it worked. People are demanding more. And he said there will be more now.
Oh,
so,
yeah,
I think the DVD will have a part four. So,
interesting.
And there may be more even further down the line. I guess it all depends on what everyone's schedules allow.
That's
but,
true.
But there's definitely demand. So, proof of concept.
There you go. But if you're not streamed out, you can check out a whole bunch of streaming audio and video articles on our website, including How YouTube Works, which is available right now on HowStuffWorks.com. And we will talk to you again soon.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit HowStuffWorks.com. Let us know what you think. Send an email to podcast@HowStuffWorks.com.
Brought to you by the reinvented 2012 Camry. It's ready. Are you?
Running a business is no cakewalk, but with SAP Concur Solutions, you can be ready for anything. You can manage travel, expenses, and AP all on one platform that's packed with AI and best practices, and that delivers it all through an easy, clear, I can't believe how simple that is experience. So, while not much can be done about that guy who never fails to burn the microwave popcorn and stink up the entire office, with SAP Concur, you can easily handle almost anything else. Take control of your business finances today at concur.com. That's concur.com.
This is Amy Brown from Four Things with Amy Brown. Today, healthier is happening at CVS Health in more ways than you've ever seen. It's wellness destinations for seniors, including select locations with Oak Street Health and CVS Pharmacy. It's doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and everyone in between offering quality care and support virtually, in person, and on the phone. It's in-home evaluations through Signify Health and meeting mental health needs through Aetna. And those are just a few of the ways that healthier is happening. To see more, visit cvshealth.com/healthierhappenstogether. CVS Pharmacy, Oak Street Health, CVS Specialty, Signify Health, and Aetna are part of CVS Health. Eligibility and services vary by location and individual.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.
You're a growing business, which means you need every spare hour you can find. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.